Americans are a people who celebrate accomplishment. We are a people who applaud, reward, celebrate achievement. It's all over our society. When a building gets completed, oftentimes there's a big grand opening ceremony, right? Or when a football team wins the Super Bowl, the city, the winning city, will oftentimes put on a big parade. Or if a student graduates from school, there's a formal ceremony and there's a party. And we even do that for kindergartners in our country. Did you know that? Last year, my little Lindsay graduated from kindergarten and she had the cap and the gown and the formal ceremony and the big party afterwards. It was amazing. We celebrate achievement. And we love to brag on achievement. We love to tell others about accomplishments that have been made. And parents are most guilty at this with their children. They can even go over the top a little bit. I know I'm guilty. Boy, I'll tell you, when each one of my kids retired from Pampers, I was on the phone rejoicing with friends and relatives. Look what my kid can do. More importantly, where he does it now. On this Resurrection Sunday morning, brother and sister in Christ, let's celebrate what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. What the Lord did, look at what he did in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection, and let's rejoice together over it. I've taken you to a message that Peter the Apostle gave to a group of Gentiles, as recorded in Acts chapter 10. And actually, Acts chapter 10 is a pretty important chapter in the Bible for us Gentiles. When the church was born, the first Christian converts were Jewish. Peter and the rest of the apostles, they were Jewish, and they became the first Christians, and Christianity spread to the Jewish people first. In Acts chapter 10, Christianity spreads to the Gentiles. And I'm glad, because I'm a Gentile. And most of us in this room are probably Gentiles. Peter got a vision from the Lord, which essentially told him that he would be going to share the gospel with Gentiles. At the same time, a devout Gentile man by the name of Cornelius was praying to and seeking the Lord. He was wondering how he could get close to God. And God gave Cornelius a vision, and in his vision, an angel came to him and said, "You got to go get a guy by the name of Peter, who's in Joppa. So you send two of your servants to Joppa, you get Peter, you bring him to your place, and he's going to tell you exactly what you need to do." And so Peter is found, and he's brought to the house of Cornelius, that Gentile man. And Peter will give a message, and he will essentially tell those Gentiles, look what Jesus did. His whole message will center around what Jesus accomplished in his life, his death, and his resurrection. Amen. Let's see what Peter tells that crowd. Beginning in verse 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" He tells them, "I acknowledge that God is now reaching out to those Gentile people." Verse 36, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." And here's the message. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. I want you to picture this scene in your mind. This man, Cornelius, was a wealthy Gentile man, and he lived in Caesarea, a booming city. It's no doubt that Cornelius had a very large house with a large open courtyard. And Cornelius, knowing that Peter's going to show up and share a message, has invited all of his friends and relatives. And I am certain that when Peter showed up, the open courtyard in the house was packed with a crowd of people that had been invited by Cornelius. And there they are, all waiting to hear what Peter would say. This scene, in my mind, sort of looks like a Sunday morning worship service in a tent. We're kind of meeting in an open court. And in fact, it actually reminds me of an Easter Sunday morning service in a tent. Cornelius invited all those people to come in here. And as all of us know, Easter is one of those Sundays that draws more people to church than any other Sunday. And as I look out, I see new faces. I see visitors. And maybe you're here this morning because you were invited by a friend or a relative. And I want you to know that you've been invited because they want you to know what Jesus did. And I am so glad to see your faces, and I hope you feel welcome here. Let me just say why I have you here, though. We'd like to see you a lot more. It would be great if more people went to church regularly. Amen? Amen. Don't be like this family who said, "You see, God, it's like this. We could attend church more faithfully if your day came at some other time. You've chosen a day that comes at the end of a hard week and we're all tired out. Not only that, but it's the day following Saturday night, and Saturday night is one time when we feel that we should go out and enjoy ourselves. Often it is after midnight when we reach home, and it's almost impossible to get up on Sunday morning. And God, you must realize that you've picked the very day on which the morning paper takes the longest to read. The day when the biggest meal of the week must be prepared. We'd like to go to church and know that we should, but you've just chosen the wrong day. It's not the wrong day, it's the right day. Amen. And take time to come and fellowship with the people of God at a church service regularly. Go to a good Bible teaching church. Amen? Amen. Well, Peter tells that crowd that is gathered what Jesus did. And first of all, he tells them what Jesus did in his life. He tells that crowd that Jesus lived a profound life. He did amazing things. In verse 38, Peter told them that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Peter hung out with Jesus, and Peter saw Jesus do some amazing things. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ has lived the most profound life that was ever lived by anybody, anywhere. I want to remind Christians of that this morning, and I want to perhaps tell that for the first time to somebody here. Jesus lived the most important life ever. Amen. It says there in verse 38 that he healed all. The Lord Jesus Christ was a healer. He healed people from sicknesses and all sorts of different kinds of illnesses. And he did it amazingly. You read the gospel accounts and you see that there are flocks of people, multitudes of people carrying paralyzed people, blind people, mute people, sick people. They're carrying them on mats and they show up to Jesus and Jesus healed them. Jesus was so powerful you could reach out and touch the hem of his garment and you'd get healed. That woman who struggled for 12 years with an issue of blood. She went to doctors. She spent all of her money. She was poor and destitute and she never got any better. One day Jesus walked by and I see her diving to touch the hem of his garment as he passes by. Instantaneously healed. Jesus would heal long distance. Remember the Roman centurion comes to Jesus one day and says, I have a servant who's paralyzed and in torment back home. Jesus says, I'll go with you. And he said, no, I believe all you have to do is speak the word and he'll be healed. Jesus spoke the word and that man was healed that moment, that day. Jesus healed people who were totally paralyzed. Who can forget the story where four friends bring their totally paralyzed friend to the house where Jesus is preaching? They couldn't get in. There was too many people. These guys went up on the roof and dug a hole through the roof and lowered their paralyzed friend on a mat right down below Jesus. Jesus spoke the word. That man was healed instantaneously. He got up, rolled up his mat, and he walked out. Look what Jesus did in his life. He was a healer. Not only did he heal, he raised people from the dead. His friend Lazarus died. They put him in a grave. He had been in there for 4 days. And Jesus says, roll away the stone. And people said, no, Lord, he probably stinks. Jesus said, roll away the stone. And he said, Lazarus came forth and that man came out of the grave. Or who can forget in Luke chapter 7 where Jesus and his disciples are going into a city called Nain. And as they're going into the city, a funeral procession's coming out of the city. They're carrying a coffin. It contains the body of a widow's dead son. Jesus raised that son to life right there. Look what Jesus did in his life. All the other good things he did. It says he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. Jesus cast demons out of people. The story of the man who was filled with demons. A legion of demons. This man hung out in cemeteries, in caves. Scripture says he cut himself with glass and rocks. He was a man under torment. Jesus cast those demons out of that man. They went into a herd of swine and off the cliff. Or the father who brought his son to Jesus, who was tormented with a demon. And this demon would cause this boy to go into convulsions and would cause this boy to throw himself into water and into fire to kill himself. And Jesus cast the demon out of that boy, and the scripture says when he did so, that little boy dropped to the ground limp as though he were dead. The struggle was over for that boy. And then Jesus grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up and gave that son whole and healthy back to his dad. Look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus accomplished in this life. The most profound life ever lived. And folks, that's why so many people worship Jesus. Jesus has touched our lives. Amen? Amen? That's why millions of people have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why there's faith in him. There was a Frenchman by the name of Le Pau who wanted to create a new religion. Imagine, I'd like to start a new religion. And so he went out and tried to start a new religion and of course, it didn't work. So when he complained to the statesman Talleyrand of his ill success, the statesman said to him, you know what you need to do? You need to go and perform miracles, heal the sick of every variety, raise the dead,
then be crucified and rise up again from the grave on the third day. When you've done this, then maybe you'll be able to start a new religion.
Jesus did that. Amen. Jesus is the unique one. And we serve a risen Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and I believe he can still heal today from heaven, long distance, right now. He can heal you. He can restore you. He can cast demons out that torment you. Look what Jesus did in his life. We celebrate that this morning as Christians.
Then Peter, in this message to the Gentiles, mentioned his death. Verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree.
Remember, Peter's telling this crowd about how to get to God, and his whole message centers around what Jesus did. First, he says this is what Jesus did and how he lived, anointed by the Holy Spirit and power. And then he speaks of his death. Jesus died. He lived this profound life, and then they killed him by hanging him on a tree. And of course, that's referring to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter speaks of it rather simply, but we know that it wasn't simple. The death of Christ was brutal, wasn't it?
Think of what Jesus experienced on Good Friday.
He did die, and he died the most brutal death ever invented by man.
He was arrested. He was given an unfair trial. Our Lord was beaten. Our Lord had his beard plucked out. Our Lord was spit upon. Our Lord Jesus Christ was scourged, that is, he was whipped 39 times with a flagellum, a leather strap that had rocks and glass and sharp other implements embedded in it. He was lashed 39 times on the back. And it was believed by the Romans at that time, if they did it 40 times, a person would die. So they only did it 39 times to Jesus. They beat Jesus within an inch of his life. And then they placed a crown of thorns on him. Continued to beat him. And then they brought him to that hill called Golgotha. And they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. The crucifixion is the most painful death ever invented by men. In fact, we even get that word excruciating, like excruciating pain, from the word crucifixion. Jesus died. His body was taken off the cross. He was wrapped in grave clothes, and he was placed inside a tomb, and a stone was rolled against the mouth of that tomb. My brother and sister in Christ, let me remind you this morning, look what Jesus did. You look at what he did. Look at what he suffered. Look at what our Lord went through. And then more importantly, look what his death accomplished. Why did Jesus do that? Listen, his death wasn't an accident or it wasn't a mishap. It wasn't like, oops, Jesus got caught. Bible says that Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice. Bible says he gave himself as the Lamb of God to be slain for the sins of the world. They didn't catch Jesus. Jesus gave himself up. He volunteered. There was a purpose to his death. And you know what the purpose was? That we might be forgiven of our sins. At the cross, our sin was atoned for. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and all are sinners. We've all committed sin. If you think you're a perfect person and you would say you're a perfect person, I would say you're a liar. You've sinned. All have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God. Sin separates us from a holy God. The wages of sin is death. The Bible declares that the only way any person could be set free from sin is for an innocent victim to die in the place of that sinner. And that's why Jesus came. He was the innocent, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. And he went to the cross. And the Bible says that all of our sins were placed on him. Atonement was made for our sin. Jesus said, "It is finished." He did the work. Look what he did. I want you to remember this morning, Christian, that it was your sin that put him on the cross. It was my sin that put him on the cross. It's our sin that put him on the cross. He went there because we sinned. Criswell said, "In a dream I saw the Savior. His back was bare and there was a soldier lifting up his hand and bringing down that awful cat of nine tails. In a dream I rose and grasped his arm to hold it back. When I did, the soldier turned in astonishment and looked at me. And when I looked at him, I saw myself." We put Jesus there. Our sin is why Jesus went to the cross. His love kept him there because he loves you. He loves me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Look what he did. He lived that profound life. Look what he did in his death. And then look what Peter will say concerning Jesus. And this is the best part. This is the good news. Verse 40, he continues in his message and he says, "Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead." Let me tell you about Jesus. Look what he did. Look at the life he lived. Look at the death he died. And then Peter told that crowd, "Guess what? On the third day, he rose again." Peter and the rest of the apostles, they saw Jesus after his death, after he raised from the dead. They even ate and drank with the Lord Jesus Christ after he arose from the grave. Jesus rose. This is why we've gathered this morning. This is what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. Our Lord's grave is empty. The women, they came to that tomb early in the morning and the stone was rolled away and the angel said, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." Our group from Israel, we just were touring Israel a couple of weeks ago and we were there at the empty tomb and we all walked in and we can all tell you, empty. There's a sign right next to it that says, "He's not here, he's risen." Look what Jesus did. The resurrection of Jesus Christ tells us that Jesus Christ has defeated death. He's defeated it. Paul said, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" As Christians, we now no longer need to fear death because Jesus has defeated death. Amen. For a Christian, they know what happens after death. The Bible says if you give your heart to Christ, you become a Christian. You don't have to fear death anymore. After death, you know what's in store for you, Christian? Glory. Heaven. You'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ and your Lord. You don't have to worry anymore. A couple of weeks ago, a sister and myself, we went to visit a woman in the hospital. And this woman had 10 tumors in her head. And the doctors had said, the hope isn't there. It doesn't look good for this woman. She's dying. And I was able to spend some time with this woman, and it was just me and her there in the hospital room. And I just asked her, I said, "How you doing? How you handling this?" And she said, "Pastor, I'm afraid to die." And she looked at me and she said, "Are you afraid?" And I told her, "You know what? I don't look forward to death. I'm not morbid in saying, yes, I want to die. No. But I'm not afraid of death." And I told her that. I said, "You can know for certain where you will go the day that you die. Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, conquered death. There is a place for you." And that woman bowed her head to receive Jesus Christ. And we walked out of that room and her eyes were filled with more hope. Even as tough as it still was. Jesus rose from the grave. Look what he did. He defeated death. The Bible says that also because Jesus rose from the grave, we are all guaranteed that he can raise us from the grave. Amen. Folks, this is one of the greatest joys about the Christian faith and the greatest hope. A Christian one day will get a brand new body. Amen? A body that never gets sick. A body that doesn't hurt. A body that doesn't groan in the morning when that alarm clock goes off. Ugh. Bible says we're groaning for our new home. Every morning when you groan, turning off that alarm clock, you're groaning for heaven. You're groaning for a brand new body that you will receive when you are raised from the dead. Your body will be glorified. It'll be wonderful. Look what Jesus did. And then also the most important thing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave guarantees that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at the cross was accepted. Because Jesus rose from the grave, that's God saying, yes, your sacrifice was accepted. The way of salvation is now open to all. Somebody once said that the resurrection is God's amen to Christ's statement, "It is finished." I love that. Jesus at the cross said, "It is finished." And when he rose again from the grave, God said, "Amen." Accepted. Salvation is open. Jesus accomplished it. Look what he did. Look what he did on Good Friday and look what he did on that next Sunday morning. Wilfred Grenfell was a famous missionary doctor to Labrador. And on Easter Sunday in 1908, he received an urgent call to come and treat a gravely ill youth in a village 60 miles away. He harnessed his dog team and set out for the village as quickly as possible. This was the time of the spring thaw, but to save time, Grenfell decided to risk crossing the ice on the bay instead of winding around the rugged shoreline. It was an unwise decision, for the ice was breaking and shifting, and Grenfell and his dog suddenly plunged into the icy water. He managed to pull himself and three of his dogs out onto a large chunk of ice, but the wind, bitterly cold, was driving the ice out to sea. To avoid freezing to death, Grenfell killed his three dogs and wrapped himself in their bloody skins. There he shivered through the long night. The following morning, he was near death, but his friends, risking their lives, maneuvered between the surging ice chunks to rescue him. The story of his courage spread widely, leading many others to come serve with him in Labrador. Even so, guys, it was on Good Friday that we were wrapped in the righteousness of the Lamb who was slain for our salvation. And it was on Easter Sunday that we were rescued from a cold death by the sudden appearance of a risen Lord. Look what he did. Look what he can do. He's alive. Verse 42, Peter continues his message and said, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To Him all the prophets witness that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins." Jesus is alive today. And look what He can do for you right now. All of your sins can be forgiven. You can have the remission of all your sins. Peter told that Gentile crowd, Jesus told us to go and preach the gospel message. This morning, the gospel message has been preached. And the Bible says that if one will respond to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, as it says, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins. If you will come to Jesus Christ this morning, if you will believe in Him, put your faith in Him, then your sins will be forgiven. You will become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Your life can be restored. Your life can be healed. You can leave this place knowing that you will be in a safe place when you die. I'm going to give many of you an opportunity to make that decision for Jesus Christ right now. I do not believe it's by accident that anybody is here this morning. In fact, I believe that each one has been handpicked by the risen Lord Christ to be here, to hear the gospel message, to hear about what Jesus did and what Jesus can do and wants to do right now in your life. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a decision for Jesus Christ on this Resurrection Sunday morning. I'm going to be asking you to get up out of your seat and to come forward and stand right here below this pulpit, right here at this stage, that you might come forward and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I also want to mention that God loves you so much. Do you see it in the story? Do you see it in what He's done? And God will chase you down. God will seek you out. There's a reason you're here this morning. The Lord is drawing you into His kingdom, that you might become a child of God. Don't run. If you're going to run, run to Him, not away from Him. In 1981, a Minnesota radio station reported a story about a stolen car in California. Police were staging an intense search for the vehicle and the driver, even to the point of placing announcements on local radio stations to contact the thief. On the front seat of the stolen car sat a box of crackers that, unknown to the thief, were laced with poison. The car owner had intended to use the crackers as rat bait. Now the police and the owner of the VW Bug were more interested in apprehending the thief to save his life than to recover the car. So often when we run from God, we feel it's to escape His punishment, but what we are actually doing is eluding His rescue. Don't run from Him. Look what Jesus did for you. How could you resist? I want an absolute attitude of quiet right now and silence, and I want your heads to be bowed and your eyes to be closed. My brother and sister in Christ, I want you to patiently pray, quietly pray, and rejoice in your heart for what Jesus did. And I want to close by opening it up for people who have never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to make a decision today. And I ask that you would make a public decision. You've come with a family or friend. Maybe they would like to come with you. But I think it's important that you come forward. Father, I thank you for the certain hope that we have as Christians. You are glorious. You are awesome, Lord. You've done it all for us. And the way you lived, and the way you died, and the way you rose again. And I know that right now you can change hearts and lives forever. And I pray that you would do that right now. We're going to quietly sing and pray. And I would ask you to stand as we close. But those of you who are coming forward, I'd like you to get up and come down right now. Come down and make a decision for Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Let's sing this last song.